again, everyone. It's another episode of StatsZone Inside Tech with me, Rika, data journalist of StatsZone, joined by Kari Taki, head of growth at StatsZone, co-hosting this podcast together. Today, we are focusing on a unique niche in the EV charging market. HeyCharge, our spotlight company for today, is making a big difference in some of an overlooked parts of the commercial public charging market. When we talk about commercial public charging market, on-road charging holds a big piece of this market, maybe with around 64% share of the total market. Destination charging and parking space charging market are much smaller, but they are also important. They make up about 6% and 30% of the total market respectively. And HeyCharge is focusing on these two segments. To be more precise, HeyCharge is targeting spaces with low or no internet connectivity, offering solutions for places that might have been missed out before. So I guess, without further delay, let's hear from Chris Carter, founder and CEO of HeyCharge. Welcome to StatsZone, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Welcome to our podcast, Chris. Maybe you could a little bit tell yourself further. Rika had some overall idea who you are and what does the HeyCharge do, but maybe you can tell in your own words a bit deeper.
Sure. I mean, so who am I? I mean, I guess the founder story is somehow linked with the company a little bit, but just really briefly, I got my start in electric mobility, actually building plug-in hybrids and electric cars like 23 years ago at the University of California while I was still a student in the U.S. And I think when I left grad school, it was 2004. It wasn't really time to start an electric car charging business. So I went off and got a so-called real job. I kind of took a little bit of a diversion away from electric cars for, I don't know, almost, I guess, 15, 16 years. Worked for Mercedes-Benz R&D and then Google is actually how I moved to Germany. I ended up joining the Google Munich office here. And then finally, kind of actually was almost subconsciously building like the right trifecta of experience to do EV charging because I ended up joining an energy utility company, E.ON. But actually, and this is where the company story starts. I brought, with great excitement, brought my first electric car home to my city center apartment here in Munich. I think it was back in 2017, and just kind of it slapped me in the face how difficult and awful it was to get EV charging installed in an apartment building. So actually the original concept behind HeyCharge wasn't about building a certain technology. It was about solving, or I should say meeting, a specific market need that was, I think, in 2017, and ended up founding the company in 2020. It was somehow a little, controversial whether people in apartments would need charging, but it was, pretty, clear if you believed in electric mobility at 100% that, that would include people in apartments. And so we launched the company to build a product to serve that market. And maybe I'll save some of the technical discovery for our discussion, through the episode. But basically that mission of bringing charging to people in apartment buildings led us to the HeyCharge we are today, with really a differentiated technology. We're not just an operator or a seller of other people's technology. We've really built something unique that is transformational and allows us to hit a different price point and address users in places where the legacy technology doesn't. So I'm gonna wrap up my wordy answer there. I hope that was okay.
Yeah. I was checking your website and you mentioned that where the legacy technology doesn't reach the users, maybe what are the main issues kind of with the legacy technology you mentioned?
Well, again, it's a great kind of case study in why, as a startup, you want to, do an MVP and basically launch a pilot and double check some of your assumptions, because we took the technology that existed in 2020 when we launched the company. It's like an IoT style architecture where every charger talks through an internet connection to the cloud, and then users walk up to a charger holding an app that needs to talk to the cloud. And actually, for the benefit of the listeners, I should, explain that we are in Germany, where every apartment building, virtually every apartment building, if it has parking, that's in an underground garage below the building. So we started a pilot and basically installed all these IoT style chargers and built an app that relied on the cloud connection to control the chargers, just like everyone else was doing. And it, you know, it kind of just, it hit us hard. It was like running into a brick wall. Wow, that this stuff just didn't work in underground parking, primarily because the user's mobile device didn't have a mobile network signal. So we said, aha, the problem to solve here is connectivity. And that's actually what all of our IP is about. Basically everything we do at Hey Charge right now is about building internet, which is to say internet free. We sometimes say like unplugged from the internet, EV charging. So chargers that don't require an internet connection but can still be managed centrally from our cloud. We do that through distributed cryptography and asynchronous communication. We built that. And then actually a funny thing happened, which is that we started off just trying to solve this usability problem. But actually, as we started deploying our new technology, we realized we kind of accidentally solved a problem that is at least equal, if not greater, depending on your perspective as a company or an operator, is the cost. Because this connectivity was driving so much cost into the setup and the operation of each site. And when we took away the connectivity, we realized, wow, we were able to install this infrastructure much faster at way lower upfront cost and way lower operating cost. And that's when we realized we were really onto something. So that's what we call our secure charge technology. It's internet free, smart, managed EV charging.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was interesting because I talked with Rika also beforehand, and in Finland, I think, we don't have that much. Okay, we don't have so much underground parking in the apartments. It's the public parking places. They usually have the connectivity. So, then I remembered, like everywhere else I traveled, the underground parking is more common and more common that you don't have connectivity.
So actually, that's exactly the discovery we went on so we developed this technology and we said, kind of invented to meet the needs of a German apartment building and maybe some of these patterns are repeated in cities across the world, maybe more in Europe, it turns out a bunch of our assumptions were actually kind of, not quite right there. So, originally we thought, okay, maybe we don't have much of a play in the US because there's not much underground parking, but the US does have another problem, actually has two problems. One of which is the mobile network coverage is not always that great, especially in rural areas. And also mobile network coverage is relatively expensive, especially when you compare it to Europe. So what we kind of realize now is that the same two problems, reliability and cost, exist, but they just exist in different geographies and with different user types in different proportions. So in the US, our value add is much more focused on improving the reliability of user access to chargers and reducing that cost of connectivity.
Okay, interesting. So US, Germany, what is your current market area where you are operating at the moment?
So we have an incredibly complicated answer to that story, given, we're a pre-Series A company. So we basically carried forward our original vision of delivering a great EV charging all-in-one solution. That's in our home market of Germany. So here we would be considered an operator. So if you have a building or, preferably from our perspective, if you're a large asset manager with, a billion plus euros in building assets, you can come to us and we'll put our great, value leading and user experience and reliability leading infrastructure into your building. But we kind of realized, let's not stop at Germany, but we don't really want to build an operations heavy business globally. So we actually platformized our product and we now have reseller operator partners who can be in any geography globally. And they can basically provide a co-branded product. It's kind of our ready to use management platform, our app, and we'll supply chargers that work with our technology. The chargers that work with our technology, and we're able to then basically allow other folks to turn on an e-mobility business with our unique technology at a very minimum of effort. And then we took it a step further. We said, okay, well, actually, there's some companies out there that want to just have that basic technology value proposition, but under their own brand. So we actually stripped away even more layers and we created a technology integration toolkit So for the engineers in the audience, basically an SDK, so a software development kit to create your own app, and an HDK, a hardware development kit to create your own charger. And we make that available to charger manufacturers and large utility scale, like national scale EV charging operators, to basically white label our technology and just improve their cost and reliability value proposition to their end customers.
All right. Yeah, that sounds interesting gap in the market you have found. What are the biggest challenges currently in the, it's a quick, rapidly growing market, so obviously globally, but what are the biggest challenges you see at the moment?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there are our challenges, and then there are the challenges of the market as a whole. So of course we're designing our technology to meet those global market challenges. And, you know, the good news is that we have an impact on both the cost and the user experience, and it's kind of related, but also the scalability, the speed of which you can install this infrastructure. And basically the biggest challenge is getting the infrastructure out there at a reasonable price point to the people who need it, where they need it, and making it work 100% of the time. And I think I said in the beginning, but I'll say it again, at a reasonable price point. And so that's exactly the challenge that our technology solves. So we're pretty excited about that. In terms of our challenges as a company, it's, you know, as you see your typical early stage technology scaling, especially technology company scaling, we're struggling to staff up and to get the right people in the right places to close the right deals at the right time. I think that's a pretty common story for most startups.
Yeah. I'm wondering what in Finland people discuss a lot about when it comes especially to apartments and getting the charging opportunities, there is the kind of the power available in the grid of the building, and we have quite hefty power input already in the buildings because we are in the cold climate and it's still a challenge. Is that the big challenge, actually building the charging infrastructure and installing it into the apartments in the more warmer regions?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the power grid as a whole, as well as, you know, the kind of the branches and, you know, the service to each individual building, and then each individual unit, nothing was really designed, well, I guess today's buildings are, but, you know, the vast majority of buildings that exist, and honestly, our focus is on retrofitting existing buildings, you know, they weren't built with this in mind. But the good news is, you know, most systems were built kind of, you know, in what has been essentially the style of you know, electrical systems design to date, which is effectively like worst case engineering, right? Because it's basically unacceptable that a transformer blows up or that the building circuit breaker trips. So, you know, basically service has been over provisioned compared to actual usage. And so by layering in smart energy steering, we're actually able to leverage essentially the gap between average and peak capacity. And so that's actually something that we do uniquely well at HCharge, is that we have a built-in load management system that's able to share the energy based on completely local communication within the building. So it wouldn't be really useful if we built EV charging infrastructure that didn't require an internet connection, but then still required that internet connection to do load management. So our innovation is that our chargers all actually wirelessly communicate with each other to implement that power sharing feature. And that kind of gives us allows us to maintain the same scalability and cost proposition, where we don't need extra communication cabling, we don't need network equipment, we don't need a cloud connection. It's all just basically done automatically with no additional effort, wirelessly. And we think that's really a kind of a unique value proposition for us.
All right. And then, who are your, probably you have like the customers you mentioned is the apartments and the companies who develop the new projects. I saw your website, you have hotels, of course, and so on. What kind of, is there other customer groups you serve?
Yeah, I mean, so I think one of the big challenges for our company has been trying to figure out the most, should we say, optimal like way to create this taxonomy of customers and users. But we are, kind of generally looking at it, you know, in a way that maps to our different product lines, you know, so our kind of in Germany where our business is operated, our customers are building operators, building managers, building owners, either individually or, you know, at large scale. And then for our turnkey reseller product, basically the customer is somebody who wants to run an e-mobility business by delivering and operating, maintaining, you know, even selling power to chargers in buildings. And those buildings can be apartments, they could be offices, mixed use commercial, hotels, even, you know, we've discussed vacation homes. And then on the kind of the larger end of the scale, where it's kind of down to our technology integration, because, you know, at that point, you're building your own app, your own commercial logic, your own billing on top of our SDK. The sky's the limit. So, you know, we'd love to see this thing go into hotel, you know, chain apps, you know, to be basically make charging a part of the digital customer experience. You know, there's actually the number of customers we've talked to with really interesting ideas that I can't talk about here. But the point is, you know, essentially you can meld our technology into any business where charging either is the product or is somehow incidental to the product. And that's kind of a neat thing.
All right. And yeah, you mentioned like, yeah, you started building like something on the first on the legacy systems, and then you found your way kind of where there's a demand. Is there like now that you have been starting doing this, guess the others also have noticed the same challenges. Do you have any major competition yet, or is it still coming up?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of folks have recognized that, you know, yeah, EVs aren't toys for the rich anymore. You know, it's coming. I mean, it sounds almost negative to say this. It's coming down market. But I mean, it's really just, it's an obvious consequence of this, just as being a technology that the world is going to need at virtually 100% scale. And so a lot of folks have recognized the end user demand, but what really differentiates HeyCharge from almost any other company out there is that we are really a unique technology driven company. So we're not just taking other people's technology and product, you know, and doing some combination of buying and reselling the hardware and, you know, basically buying software and selling access to it. But we are really developing a unique technology. And we're both, you know, essentially operating our own business on our unique technology, but that's, you know, that's a kind of toy scale compared to the global potential of, you know, giving it out in both the ready to use form, what we call our turnkey platform, as well as the technology integration. So that's the biggest differentiator. When you look at, you know, other companies that could provide that similar no infrastructure works offline proposition, I think there's really only one other in the world, but this is where we kind of get to make some audacious claims. But I think, you know, if you check into what I'm saying, you'll find that it's true. We have a technology platform, a technology basis that allows us to provide our service at a substantially lower cost than any other solution out there. That's because other solutions use blockchain. And I'm a technology guy. Blockchain is a pretty cool technology, but I don't think most people would tell you the blockchain is a lightweight and low cost from an embedded computational requirement perspective. And our technology is, we run all of our code in the charger to do all of our communications, our cryptography, kind of providing those end-to-end security guarantees of the secure charge technology. All of that runs on a processor and radio, which is a single chip and is a very similar chip to what you find in a smart light bulb. So that gives you kind of an idea for the low cost and scalability of our technology.
Interesting in the world, yeah, that where everything is usually in the cloud because it's easier to do, but you have to figure out kind of the new ways to do it as you don't have the cloud option available in all the locations, let's say. So
you can continue. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, it almost sounds bad when you say we don't have the cloud option available. We've actually engineered to make sure that we just don't need the cloud option. And actually, you know, I always like, thank you for saying it, because it reminds me, I always forget to point out, because I'm so excited about what our technology can do without the cloud. that I forgot to mention, we actually also can cooperate with the cloud. So, you know, if you want to use the HCharge Secure Charge technology, you don't have to do a completely disconnected charger. Like, our technology will allow you to do that and will allow you to manage it, send software updates to it, get the predictive maintenance and telemetry data back. But some of our customers actually want to combine this with an infrastructure connection. And that is totally okay. We call that a hybrid mode. And we have some customers basically doing both. So they have the availability and reliability benefits of our technology from the user access perspective, which is to say, when the user walks up, whether they're underground in the mountains next to a crowded ballpark with a ball game, no matter what, their charger will start because it's based on our local Bluetooth-based cryptographic communication. And then, you know, they still get the benefits of real-time monitoring of those chargers via their infrastructure connection. And for some customers, that's the right choice. So we really offer both.
Actually, I wanted to ask, going back to the competitive landscape, that other company that you mentioned offering similar solutions or technology as HCharge, like, are they operating in the same market?
They actually are. Well, I mean, so we're operating globally. So I guess technically the answer is yes. But one of the other neat differentiators, and thank you, you're asking the best questions here for us. One of the other differentiators is that we are global and that they are constrained to the US market. So they don't have this global reseller platform and they don't have the technology embedding platform, which, you know, we're approaching our Series A. So this is kind of a key part of our investor message, is that, you know, the platform, the kind of the white label OEMable aspect of our technology is really our, you know, one of our biggest competitive differentiations. And it's why we are a unique investment play in the e-mobility space.
In the growing market, it sounds like you have a very strong foothold to capture the market in kind of the early stage.
Yeah, man. The nice thing is we're really seeing demand exploding. Like, you know, it's fun to just go to these, you know, say industry shows year over year and kind of hear the difference from, you know, one year it's EV charging, does anyone need that? And then it's next, it's, you know, EV charging, well, we, you know, only people with houses need that. And then, you know, the next year it's okay, yeah, people in apartment buildings need it. And actually, this is the year where we finally are starting to hear people realize, kind of without the education, that, you know, connectivity is a challenge, it is a cost driver, it is impacting user experience. And so we really think that, you know, the floodgates are just starting to open for our technology right now. It's an exciting time for us.
What do you think, the market is really exploding in all areas in the e-mobility. As you mentioned earlier, that EVs are not anymore the rich people's toys, they are becoming more common and common. Is there any other big trends in the industry you have observed?
Well, I think the one that's, you know, I mean, it's an easy one. I don't get the creativity award here, but it's one that we've been watching very closely because I think it's really, it's related to this is the mass market demand for our technology is just the, you know, the price of EVs coming down, right? I've got this, you know, this $20,000 price point in my mind where, like, this, you know, like, it just kind of blows the doors wide open, right? Because at that point, everyone's buying an EV, right? And then, you know, we're getting close. I think, you know, the pace setter in the market to watch so far has been Tesla. Like, you know, is it still a rumor or is it now confirmed, the Model 2? I think that's the one that just feels like, you know, like the Model 3 made it like pretty widely available. That feels like the Model 2 is going to be the one that just essentially says everyone can drive an EV now.
Yeah, at least in the north here in the northern Europe, the Chinese manufacturers have been bringing a lot of very reasonably priced models in the market.
Yeah, we see that here too. I actually have to say, like, you know, the new Neo is pretty beautiful. If I didn't have two large dogs, that would probably be my next car.
What about the EV charging industry itself? Do you see any emerging technology that will be common in the future?
Well, I think it's early days, right? I mean, so we're still just basically getting to where EV charging is in general broadly available. One trend that really excites us is wireless charging. And I don't pretend to know exactly where the industry is going there, but it's exciting for HCharge because our technology also lends itself very well, and our patent also kind of explicitly includes putting this into the infotainment unit of a car. And, you know, when you think about the, you know, the benefit of wireless charging, just kind of drive up over a wireless charging pad and just get out of your car and it's already taking power. You know, the ability of the car to, automatically and without, you know, further user interaction, no need for an RFID card or to get an app out of your, you know, get a phone and out of your pocket and run an app. This is something that really, really blends well with our technology. So, you know, we I will go so far as to say that our lead investor is related to a major automaker, and we have some very interesting conversations with automakers globally. And this could be a really, you know, an interesting game changer. But I think both for just the user experience, but also, you know, it I have to be frank, we're excited because it might really drive some more demand for our technology.
Interesting. Yeah, you mentioned the wireless charging. Yeah. We touched that on the other episode also, and yeah, there is definitely like some challenges in the technology for it to be wider. And other thing what came into my mind on this topic when you mentioned like that you don't need RFID tags and so on, or myself also driving an EV, and I'm looking forward to the future where you don't need to, when you are outside home and you need to charge, that you don't need to figure out which app I have to download, or can I even without RFID tag to charge here, that it would just recognize my car and charge me from my credit card directly without me figuring out how to pay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I think, you know, the potential with wireless charging is basically charging without thinking about it. You just by driving up to an equipped space, you should be able to charge. And so it really would be a shame if you still had to deal with some kind of payment process, you know, separately. You know, if you could just drive up, get out, slam the door and kind of like walk away without thinking about it and just know that your car is going to charge, that's an amazing user experience. And that's the kind of thing that we can offer.
Yeah, that would be best future for user, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, how is the Hey Touch visions for the future coming years? It's you are in the A round, it's in the plans in the future. Anything else in your visions at the moment?
I mean, obviously, we we want to you know, bring the, how do we say, the advantages of our technology in terms of that reliability and that cost advantage to as many users as possible. We see, you know, with partially based on the cost reduction potential of our technology, partially because of the decentralized nature, you don't need to have communications contracts. It really lends itself well to like bringing charging to underserved communities. So we have a really, you know, kind of actually a full initiative around building impact and impact-based projects to bring EV charging to underserved communities in the U.S. and globally. And I think that's, you know, that's a big part of our actually growth, because the neat thing is our technology is so transformational in terms of the price savings that we can, you know, we can hit that price point for underserved communities and it's just another user for us, right? That, you know, we don't have to give it away. We don't have to give it, you know, we're not losing money. That counts towards the growth of the company. So we're super excited about that. And basically, we just want to bring, you know, kind of get as many users and as many devices installed before our Series A. We are hoping to do that next year, you know, to where we, we're really a player of note. There's one other thing we're working on I didn't get a chance to talk about earlier. But it's funny, I actually have, you know, I spent a lot of my formative career years at Google working on the Android team. And only like in retrospect did I realize that what we're trying to do in terms of creating, we're creating a third-party hardware ecosystem and a logo compatibility program of what we call Works with HeyCharge chargers, because we're a technology company. We're not really a hardware or manufacturing company. We'd like to actually serve the demand for HeyCharge-enabled chargers through our partners who can sell them chargers that work with our platform directly. It actually looks a little bit like Android. And in fact, the metaphor goes all the way to the fact that we've built our own chargers. They're kind of lighthouse devices. They demonstrate the user experience. And those are almost the analog to Google's Pixel devices, right? They're kind of lighthouse devices that show the potential of the technology and kind of set the direction for the third party hardware that follows. And actually that metaphor holds perfectly, you know, between Google Android and the HeyCharge Works With program.
I read a little bit of your blog and I saw that HeyCharge wins the Automotive and Mobility Innovation Challenge Award. I think that's a really great achievement. Is there any other milestone or achievement that you would like to mention here?
Well, we've won a couple of awards over the last year. I think, you know, we were in the Smart Energy Transition 100. It's a group of 100 energy-focused startups, I think mostly in Germany, but I think also across Europe. We were pitch finalists recently at South by Southwest and at South Summit, a competition in Spain. So I think the message is resonating. And, you know, we're just looking forward to, you know, basically at some point you want to stop just winning competitions and start winning business. And that's really where we are as a company is, you know, we're hyper focused on growth, revenue, and the other relevant KPIs for our Series A. I don't think anyone's investing in competition winners at this point. I think they're investing in businesses with demonstrated growth and traction. And so that's, of course, you know, what we need to do over the next year or so.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Very interesting case you have there, and among probably hundreds, if not thousands, startups and growth companies operating in this area. Yeah, you are quite far and in an interesting position. I will keep following your road to forward in the future also. Thank you for joining us today, and appreciate your input here and the introduction of the HeyCharge.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It was my pleasure, and it's always fun to talk shop and talk about the industry. So thank you once again.
All the best for HeyCharge.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A special offer for our listeners. We are giving you full access to statistics for 30 days by registering at statzone.com with the code STATZONE, spelled in uppercase STATZON. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Visit our website and get our Tech360 newsletters. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe, recommend the podcast to your colleagues, friends, and family, and follow us on social media.